Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22. We're going to begin in Revelation 22 and then go back to Genesis 1 after that. Revelation 22, in verse 6 says this, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold," you'll see, if again, I mentioned this the other day, but if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see these are the words of Christ. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Father, thank you for your word tonight. And as we look through the scriptures, I pray you'll help us to understand the deep meaning of what it means to be blessed and what it means to bless you. And in so doing, Father, be better Christians, stronger believers, better examples when we leave this place than when we came. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look again, if you would, at the text. This is the last book of the Bible, and you'll notice in the text a specific word in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. It's verse 7. "Behold," Jesus said, "I come quickly. Blessed," some people say blessed, "blessed is he that keepeth the sayings." Now, the word that obviously I want us to consider here again at the end of Scripture is this word blessed. And yes, just as it's found in the last chapter of the Word of God, the very end, the final words, I want you to notice that it is also found in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. So let's turn there, shall we? Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis 1. And we'll stay here for most of the rest. Genesis 1, verse 22. "And God blessed them." What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus says at the end of the Bible, "Blessed are those"? And what does it mean at the very beginning of the Bible? The very, very beginning of the Bible. It just simply says that God blessed them. "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply." Go down to verse 27 of the same chapter. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them." Now again, obviously the word that we want to consider, this word blessed, is a very important theological term in the economy of God. This portion of Scripture we're looking at right now is the creation story, so that it's God himself at the very beginning who is doing the blessing. Whatever the word blessed or blessing means, God is doing the blessing here. He is the creator, is doing something to his creation. And again, as we noted, it's not just in the first chapter of the first book of Scripture this word is found. It's also given and spoken by Jesus himself in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 22. "Blessed, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings." So again, the first line of verse 22, "And God blessed them." The first line of verse 28, "God blessed them." Yes, he did. Yes, he does. And as Revelation 22 shows, yes, he will. In fact, yes, he will forever. You see, beloved, it's an astonishing thing to contemplate, but it is true. God made creation. God made creation because he wanted to bless it. And then God made man in his own image, as we just read, because he wanted something to bless forever. God made creation because he wanted something to bless, and God made man in his own image because he wanted something to bless forever. And not for nothing is the Hebrew word for blessed and blessing found over 400 times in the Old Testament alone. And not for nothing was the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived a message that began with the simple word blessed. "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit." In Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul was reminding believers of all the things that God did for them, that is for us, before the foundations of the world, he said this, "Blessed be God, the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. God created man, male and female created he them. God blessed them. So that you see, the word blessed is not just a platitude. It's not just a way to finish a sentence, like God bless you. It is actually what we are. It is what we are by God's grace from the beginning to the ending and even into eternity. And all of it according to the plan of God. Now think about that. God blessed them in the very beginning, in the very first garden back in Eden, and then God blesses them in the very end, as we read, in the eternal garden in Revelation. So that this one word, designed by God himself, that just flows over us so often, this one word is given to describe his work with man. It is the word blessed. And it's in light of that that I want us to think tonight about three things. Three things that are a reminder of why we're blessed, what it means to be blessed, and why it's God's desire to bless his people. The first thing you'll notice, number one, is acknowledge. Simply acknowledge. It says again in verse 28, and God blessed them. It says in verse 28, and God said, behold, I have given you. God blessed them, and I have given you. Young people, if you're using your electronic devices for scripture, I'm okay with that. But if you're Instagramming, nah, just look up here. I'm better looking whatever you're looking at. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, we've preached on it. You've heard it. Every single thing that's good comes from somewhere. And you know where it comes from? It comes from above. So that all of the blessings of life, material, spiritual, physical, eternal. So you mean everything? I have power now, and you know, there's a possibility I wouldn't have had power for 2 weeks or a week. Or everything that's good that you enjoy, the scripture shows us and tells us it comes from above. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Chapter 1 in Genesis is the beginning of the book of beginnings. And blessing, therefore, begins and always begins with God. And that is precisely why all of God's blessings ultimately glorify God, not us. Do you realize that the only way that God's blessings ever glorify man, and they do, but the only way that God's good things glorify man and not God is if man doesn't acknowledge that they came from God. The scripture we alluded to earlier in Ephesians 1, you may remember what it says. It says, blessed be. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So we bless him. What does that mean? Because he blesses us. The words blessing and blessed or blessed, in that text in Ephesians, you know that all three of them are translated from the same Greek word. The word is eulogio. Now, if it sounds a little familiar, it's because we get our word eulogy from that same Greek word. And what that word literally means is to speak well or to do well to someone else. When someone gives a eulogy at a funeral, they're thankful for the life and the memory of that person, and they speak well of them at that funeral because they eulogize them. Blessed be God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Speaking well about God. Speaking well of God because he did well, he blessed us. People often talk about saying the blessing at a meal. Someone gives the blessing, right? What does that mean? Because you do know the Lord Jesus did that. We get the term from the fact that Jesus himself gave, quote, the blessing. He did it, for example, when he fed the multitude. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. You don't need to turn there. And just listen to the exact way he gave the blessing. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when Jesus, he had taken the five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed them. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now hear this carefully. The Jews in Jesus' day were very deliberate about the blessing at a meal. For example, if you were there and you ate less than the volume of a single olive, you weren't to say the blessing. If you weren't going to eat, they didn't want you to give the blessing because they wanted the person who's going to see it and partake of it to give the blessing. And then the blessing would vary according to the size of the group. 10, 100, 200, the numbers would actually change the length or affect the length of the blessing itself. And typically, they would quote one of the Psalms, "Bless the Lord," or "Blessed art thou, King of the universe." And so, when the Bible says that these 5,000 men, and gives us the number, you know why that's reckoned, right? That's reckoned because the Lord had them divide up into groups of hundreds and fifties. That enabled them to count how many people. And in those smaller groups, that therefore gave them the ability to each give a blessing. The Lord looked up to heaven, he held those little bits, and he blessed them. Who did he bless? Did he bless the child who brought the fish and the loaves? Beloved, he blessed, eulogized. He blessed the Father, the giver, the blesser. And then he divided them up so that in part everybody appropriately could bless the Lord God. Again, the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven. He didn't look at the little boy. He didn't look at the disciples. And he certainly didn't look at Mother Earth. The Bible says he looked up because he was looking. Every good and perfect it comes from above. And in so doing, he led those other men by example to do the same. Now, I have a question. Do I acknowledge the giver of all the blessings? Did you know the Bible tells us when and why a society and a nation goes down into darkness and vanity so fast? The Bible actually tells us when and why they are, the scripture says, given up. That's a bad thing if God just gives up on you. When a society is given up, quote, to vile affections and worship the creation instead of the creator, the Bible tells us, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That is the moment they become vain in their imaginations. You see, folks, anybody who's blessed but does not acknowledge the blessings or the blesser is ruined. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh hopeless, given up. So acknowledge. That's the first thing. Acknowledge. God's been good to us. Really good to us. Acknowledge it. But the second thing you'll notice is, number two, appreciate. In other words, when God, you're a father, some of you are fathers, your parents, mothers in this room, when you give something to a child that's a gift, that's a good thing, you want them to acknowledge it, but you certainly want them to appreciate it. Does God want us to do that? Genesis 1 again, verse 29. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go to chapter 2, across the page, look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden. Why would God plant a garden? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Well, if it's pleasant to the sight, who made the sight? God did. Good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, of course, in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You say, Pastor, it almost sounds as if the fruit and the nuts and the trees and the animals and the rivers, as if the whole earth was originally made for man's enjoyment. Almost? Those of you who have hurricane snacks still now. Do you know what those hurricane snacks are now? Just regular snacks, amen. All that water you have in storage, you thought you'd need this week because the power's out and couldn't have water. All that water that you have right now, you know what that is now, that emergency water? Now it's just water. In other words, We really are blessed. Because it's not emergency water. And you don't have to just eat chips and Twinkies or whatever else you got. And here's the thing. Being really blessed, God wants us to appreciate those blessings. Now, I realize that this is not the message that's being sent out at our universities, certainly not in Hollywood, even in our courts today. Their message is that the earth is sacred and man is the problem. I feel for our young people. I love our young people. I feel for them because a lot of them really are just being indoctrinated with this whole idea that we're the problem, that we are intruders. You know, elitists are flying around in their carbon-guzzling jets, wearing ridiculously expensive clothing, and they're eating exorbitant foods everywhere they fly, and they do nothing productive except lecturing you and I before returning to one of their many massive estates where they consume far more natural resources in a single day than you do in an entire year. They're all smug in their cocktail parties and their red carpet award shows, where in those award shows they even give more lectures and more pious speeches on how man is the problem. And in all of their hypocritical, extravagant, wasteful lifestyle, they are the ones who do not acknowledge that all blessings come from God. So that, in fact, the body of their life's work typically is set out to destroy God and His eternal word. So here's their message. Don't receive God's blessings. Their lecturing is, you don't need to eat that. We don't need cows. Therefore, steak. Because they're hurting the environment. And don't wear that, because that came from an animal. And don't build that, because you're taking down trees. And don't drink that, and don't climb or swim or farm or fish or ride, because you know what? You're the intruder and you're the problem as a man or a woman. Well, Pastor, don't you believe in taking care of the planet? Oh, yeah, yeah. Far more truthfully than they do. In chapter 2, verse 15, you see what it says? And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's an original mandate. And you'll notice what God said even earlier, the last line of chapter 2 and verse 5. It says that there was no man to till the garden. You say there wasn't a man? He made it and there wasn't? No, there wasn't, but there needed to be one in God's plan. God provided that. You see, folks, you can see how minds that are darkened always get things backward. The blessings of God are meant by God to be acknowledged and then appreciated. Literally enjoyed. The word God uses here is freely, freely received with joy. You know, look at our media, and this happens every time. I grew up in Florida, and most of you here have been here long enough. You've seen it over and over again, but especially now that we have 24-hour news cycles for the last 25 years. Every time there's a Category 4 or Category 5 storm that's coming and it's headed for some American coast, the media, the people on television are so animated and energetic and proactive. They're just jumping around and excited and telling you this and you're going to die and your kids are going to die. And they're so animated. Is always the apocalyptic story that's going to destroy you and your pets and everybody. But then, every time, like Matthew and Irma, and I can go all the way back, I can even go back to the ones that made landfall and the eye went right over us, like Francis and Jean and Wilma. But anytime it literally comes towards us and skirts, like Matthew did, and misses us entirely, or almost entirely. Have you ever noticed that all of the energy and the excitement, they look sad. They're actually disappointed. Why wouldn't they have the same amount, no, not the same, much more excitement? And coming on television and saying, can you believe this?
This is awesome. Wouldn't it be refreshing if one time one newscaster would say, this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. Look at this map and look at that path, and this didn't do anything like we said it was going to do. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray and thank God. I'd just leave out the last sentence if they would just be excited that it didn't kill everybody. But they're actually disappointed. And if you think about it, there's a reason for that. They don't believe that good things come from above. Who are they going to be excited about? Who are they going to be thankful to? The text we quoted earlier from Romans 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. That's amazing to me because 2,000 years ago, Paul described in detail the modern progressive mindset. If you want to understand the modern progressive mindset, just read Romans chapter 1, because 2,000 years ago, it's right there. But Pastor, a lot of people, you know, they just don't believe the whole Creator story. I know. They believe another story. ICR put a picture the other day on a while back of a man standing in a little stream in the Smoky Mountains. And around him were all these rocks that had been piled up, neatly arranged to form sort of a pattern in what looked like a little levee to make a pond. Our boys did that. Some of you have been in the mountains, and you've taken rocks, and you know there's a creek, and you just stack them up so that it makes a little pond, and the fish get caught, the crawfish or whatever, and you have, it's something boys do. But in this little picture where it showed these rocks lined up and stacked up, and the man standing there, they had these little notes at the bottom. It said, number one, you see the leaves on the branches of the tree, what is the origin of the leaves in the tree? And then it said, answer. By natural processes over millions of years, that tree evolved. No intelligence formed that. Number two, it said, see the human being in the picture? How did that complex body and the complex DNA information system and that code system come about? Answer. Oh, by natural processes over millions of years, the being evolved intelligence. No intelligence formed that person either. And then number three, it said, you see the little rocks lined up in the stream? How did they get there? Answer, well, it's obvious. Somebody deliberately placed those rocks in an order that's a result of intelligence. No random process. Think about that. Those who reject God believe inanimate matter arranged itself by nature and natural processes into the most complex information system, DNA, in all of the universe. But these rocks couldn't do it. It's just a story. Evolution. It's just a story made up by people who don't want to believe that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. People who do not want to acknowledge and appreciate the blessings of God. That's what Romans 1 teaches. That the mind becomes darkened when it knows there's a God, but it no longer recognizes Him as God and are no longer thankful for any good thing that comes from God. Number one, acknowledge blessings. Number two, appreciate them. But then number three, I want you to notice, is allocate them. In other words, be a blessing. Now, I want you to notice this is a theme in the Bible. And when we get to our last series, a last message on our series on Add to Your Faith, and the highest one is agape love, you're really going to see this. But this is the theme of Scripture for you and I. You're in Genesis. Turn to chapter 12, would you, real quick? Genesis chapter 12. Do you know people who are insufferable? Somebody just said yes. I mean, just shouted it out. Who? I want to know who you're thinking about right now. I mean, just insufferable. They're just, you don't want to be around them. They're annoying. They gripe. The glass is always half empty. There are just people like that. Do you know who those people are? Those are these people who receive blessings from God, because we all do. The wicked do as well. It shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, and it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous.
who don't acknowledge it, who don't appreciate it. And these are the people who never allocate it. They're just the Dead Sea. They just take in. But that's not the biblical model or mandate. Look at Genesis 12, would you? Verse 2, for example, again, this is early on, I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. That's what God does. You know, that's what God does. He blesses you. He blesses me. He blesses us. That's what he did from the very, very beginning, before the foundation of the world. The blessings came from above. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Here it is. And thou shalt be a blessing. You see, beloved, the point of being created in God's image. See, we're created in God's image. Now, animals are takers. I mean, a horse, they'll take what you give them. You have to break them if you want to ride them, but they don't ride them on the top of a hill out west in Colorado in a beautiful sunrise and see the sun come up and lift up their head and go, oh, that's the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. Glory to God. No. But you're created in the image of God. God is a blesser. You were created in his image, and so that we're not simply supposed to accumulate blessings for ourselves. That's the insufferable people you know right now. We're not just supposed to sit out here and receive and receive and receive. However, we are supposed to receive and enjoy, and just like God, distribute blessings to other people. Be a blessing to others. Your life is meant to be blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Do you know what? You know what product placement is, right? Product placement, that's where companies will pay movie makers or actors if they'll use their products in certain shots or at least display their logo somewhere in the movie, right? And you know, Superman throws a big truck into the sun, but the truck is a Coca-Cola truck, and you can see the Coca-Cola sign as it's going into the sun or whatever. There's a scene, in fact, in a popular TV series that had 9 different Apple devices in one scene. All of that was on purpose. It's called embedded marketing. And turns out there's a company in London that offers us pastors cash money if we send proof that we mention a certain product or a film project in our sermons. Product placement and preaching. I would never. Excuse me for a minute. Leo Mintz, the pastor's mints that all pastors love the most. Made with pure King Ice peppermint oil. Amen. So I would never do that. Put that in front of the camera right there. Good, good, good. And you get a mint, and you get a mint, and you get a mint. Now, did you know, you know what it is. I'll be wearing little Chick-fil-A logos and stuff like that pretty soon, like NASCAR drivers. Well, did you know that God has embedded messaging? Yeah. God has embedded messaging. The only difference is, it's not a product, and it's not money. It's grace. And it has been embedded in your heart if you're saved, so that God has always intended for his people, wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever career path they're in, it doesn't matter. He has always intended for his people to reflect his grace by being blessed and then being a blessing to those around them. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. That's biblical. Who would say, think about this for a moment before we close. Who do you know that would say that they find you a blessing in their life? They look at you or they think about you and they say, you know what, that lady,
that teenage girl is a blessing to me? Or who could say that they have been blessed by your life or by something you did? You know, I mentioned the Greek word for blessed in the book of Ephesians. There's another one also used in the New Testament, and it's the word makarios. Makarios is actually the word that's used in the Sermon on the Mount. You know what it means? It means to be blissful or happy from within. It's a self-contained happiness. Doesn't rely on outside circumstances, whether you did get hit by the Cat 5 or you didn't. And of course, it is the result, this inside thing, is the result of someone who acknowledges and appreciates the blessings of God. So, there's this island in the Mediterranean called Cyprus. Barnabas was from there, and the Greeks gave it a name. They called it Makarios, same Greek word, the happy isle. The Greeks believed that because of its location and its soil and its climate, all you ever needed to be happy was right there on Cyprus. So it was the island of blessing. Obviously, everybody can't move to Cyprus. But every one of us as believers tonight can be a Cyprus. We can be Makarios. We can be a self-contained island of blessing, just like Barnabas, who came from that island, who they changed his name to the Encourager, was a blessing in the image of God. God made creation because he wanted something to bless. And God made you in his image because he wanted someone to bless forever. And that's what he's intending to do. So, may all of us tonight, every day, every moment we can, acknowledge that we're blessed. We are a blessed people. May we not only acknowledge it, may we appreciate it. Enjoy those blessings. You know, you see a sunrise and it's beautiful, say it, enjoy it, embrace it. And may we allocate and share. Because that's God's design, that you would be a conduit of blessing. When Jesus walked out of the temple and he saw the fig tree that had no fruit, and as an example to the disciples, it was a picture of Israel, of course, and he cursed it. Why cumbereth it the ground? You know what basically the Lord was saying was, this tree is taking up a piece of real estate on this earth, and it's not giving out. And there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than for a blessed child of God to take up a piece of real estate on this earth and not be a blessing and not bear fruit to the glory of God. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, so grateful that you are a God who wants to be a blessing, who is a blessing, and who gives blessings, who from the very, very beginning blessed them. And I pray, God, as your children who have this blessing in us and receive from you these great blessings every day, that we will please you because we are also a blessing to others, that we will acknowledge where blessings come from, that we will appreciate them truly, and then we will allocate them, Lord, to those around us. And in so doing, give you glory because you're worthy of that glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.